He will create joy for you. Most of us look for happiness in possessions or positions or passions or pleasure. There's some people in here with some pretty high positions, but that doesn't bring joy. Service is good. Service has pain associated with it. But joy comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. It comes from the applause of heaven. It comes from something beyond us where nothing people say ultimately matters except what he says about you. Joy doesn't come from status. It doesn't come from salary. It doesn't come from sex. There are two secrets to joy. These are really hard. This is deep. Stay with me here. Get the focus off yourself. Get the focus off yourself. Shift from inward focus, where it's all about me, to outward. The society is obsessed with the inward. You deserve a break today. You deserve it. You deserve it. But the truth is, the more you give your life away, the more joy you will get. The more you give your life away, the more joy you will get. I was going to deal with this later in the sermon. But there was this guy who was a veteran. This is in the 17th century. His name was Lawrence. And he'd gone out and he'd gotten wounded and he was arrested and he was taken apart as a spy and he was about to be executed by the Germans. I mean, it was just a fun day going on there. And somehow he decided that he would tell them the truth, that he wasn't a spy, blah, blah, blah. And I guess the ring of truth invested what he said, and they let him go. And ultimately, he told the Lord he would give him his life 100%. He went out in the desert, lived by himself. It's kind of self-centered, isn't it, in a certain sense? Yes. And he found that that was empty. So he went and he lived among people as a brother, as a Carmelite priest, or actually less than, a lay minister, if you will, a bivocational kind of guy. And what he did was he washed dishes. He washed dishes. And when he moved up, he fixed shoes. But he said, everything I do, all of my service, and he had to wash dishes and do shoes because he was clumsy. He knew it, and they all knew it. He'd been wounded. He had a bad leg. But he said to the Lord, I'll give you everything I got. And just tenderly every day for a while, he was anxious and he was worried about everything, being perfectionistic and using the law of God to punish himself with. And after a while, he saw that as he dwelt on the love of God for him, as he got outside himself and looked to the Lord, that in his daily work, that was his vocation that God had made. He began to talk to the Lord all the time, and meditate on the love of God. And what he thought, the jobs that he thought were so menial, became meaningful. Jobs done for the Lord with the right attitude that God wants to give go from being menial to being meaningful. It was not fun to be the Apostle Paul. My life is being poured out as a part of the sacrifice and service I offer to God, Philippians 2:17. For your faith, it's being poured out. You know the story we've told you 100 times. He's being beaten. He's being imprisoned. He's being chained. There's almost nothing they can't do to him that's not negative and bizarre. And then he goes, yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. Now, come on, Paul. Get in. You're in denial. You know, they thought Brother Lawrence was in denial, until they saw him with the God of pots and pans and shoes. And they saw 40 years of consistent sweetness and love and a guy that just didn't get rattled because he belonged to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and trusted him, not in himself. And when he died, he left the sweet aroma of a man of faith and goodness and love as he tenderly went off to see the face of his Savior. Do you know? There's a book called Practicing the Presence of God. It's 300 years old, and it's still, for Christians, a bestseller because it's a simple story of a simple man that didn't dwell on the inward, but dwelt on the love of God. Paul was filled with joy no matter what happened to him, because he was a servant. He was serving his king. Woe be it unto me if I do not preach the gospel, he said. I'm under compulsion. I owe him. But he's alongside me. That's part of the dynamic here. God wired the universe. So the more unselfish we are, the more joy we get. The most helpful people, check this out at the library, just saying, that's my last colloquial statement. The most helpful people are the most happy people. Any of you experience that? I think it's screaming at us. I've met these people my whole life. I'm convicted by them. I love them for it. Little Kaylee Kimbrough, actually she's about this tall with freckles, blonde, came in the church office the other day. Kaylee and Mary's hanging out there, and AJ and all our interns who were just magnificent. Thank you, AJ. You're the only one I see right now. But Kaylee comes into the church office. Oh, Mary's there. Sorry, Mary. Stand up so we can see you. No, just kidding, Mary. Mary's a dynamo. Diana is so grateful to you. We won't get into that right now. Thank you. But here's where I'm going. Kaylee comes in the door of the office. She wasn't working there today. Sticks her head and goes, I love you. I love to all the staff there. Honestly, I'm thinking, Kaylee, can you kind of back that down a little bit? That's a little too joyful. I mean, maybe I'm having a little glum moment here, and you're kind of raining lightning on my dark parade. I love you. I love you. And then she goes, 100 people are going to Rockbridge, the Young Life Camp, from the schools that she's serving and telling about Jesus. Wait, did you hear the word serving there? Do you think she was a blessing when she lit up our office? Do you think seeing her exciting about her life being used to potentially change her small universe, that doesn't stir one up to love and good works? Isn't that brilliant? Do you think every day when you're in a public high school trying to love kids into the kingdom, it's fun and exciting and just to thrill them in it? It's tough and gritty. And that's why you have to be on your surfboard. That's why it's got to be Jesus doing the work. Because if he doesn't work, we can't work. God wired the universe so that the more unselfish you are, the more joy you will have. Always be full of joy. By the way, this is written from prison by Paul. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. A blunt way to put it, he says it in Philippians 2:4, if you have this translation, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. If you lack joy in your life, start serving. Number two, and I don't know where we are on the sheet there, but use your gifts. Part of God's purpose in your life is that you use your gift to help others. You'll always see these folks that are getting Oscars saying, I was made for this part. I was made for this part. Well, you were made for this part. You were made for the unselfish part. You were made for the glorious part. Brother Lawrence was terrible at what he did. But he did it to the Lord, and he got better and better at it. He was almost kicked out of a convent. All he was doing was working for them, and they almost booted him out because he was so bad at what he did. But he got on his surfboard and trusted the Lord. God has given each of you, it says in 1 Peter 4:10, some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. We're blessed to be a blessing. We bless others by using our skills to serve. Now, I didn't get the specific information. I think I've told you this, but our own Phyllis Holloway, who I think is sitting here somewhere, just got some big reward recently from the PTA. You know why I think she got it? I haven't debriefed her. This young woman is a servant. excellent servant, unbelievable servant. Wherever she goes, things get better. Wherever she goes, people are helped and encouraged, and they honored her in this county for her work. Her husband has some jive job as the mayor of Clifton, and they just love him every week or every month when they come in and have a meeting. Can you imagine how the politicians hear stuff in these meetings? It's a nightmare. My son's going to be a cop. He was just at the county meeting out in Prince William, and they just vilified the leaders there, the servants there, the public servants there. That's not right. That's disrespectful, and it's wrong, and Christians shouldn't do that. But this guy's willing to take it for the good of his community. That's a servant, and that's a man making a difference in his world. Serving others unselfishly will improve my relationships. Self-centeredness is the root of all relational problems. The more you practice unselfishness, the better your relations. Everybody benefits. Life is a lifelong task of learning to be unselfish. How do we become unselfish? Copy Jesus. Marriages basically come apart for one large reason. It's human sin, and it's a yielding to the temptation to be grossly selfish. That's all it is. It's real simple. There's more to it, certainly. Marriages need humility. They need love. There are gender differences. There are different objectives. A thousand things. But the bottom line is, if you kill King Baby in your soul and let King Jesus reign, things get better. Joy begins to fill in the blanks. I have 40 years more than that of experience. I speak from a place I live. Melanie and I battle over stuff all the time. Normally because of selfishness. But whenever we yield to the Lord, things get better. We're better together in a trinity of purpose. If you're like Jesus, you will be more respected by others. If you serve Christ in this way, it says in Romans 14, 18. Well, let me start with Matthew 20, 28. Your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. I did not come to be served, but to serve. And then we're to be more like Jesus as we are. We will be respected by others. If you serve Christ in this way, you will please God and be respected by people. Here's the cool part. The more I bless and serve others, the more blessing God is kind enough to bestow. It says in Proverbs 11, 25, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Those who help others are helped. Oh. If you can find something to put your hand to in a church or in a business, wherever it is, God will bless you because you're reflecting his glory and he's about winning people to himself. Proverbs 11, 17 says this, you do yourself a favor when you are kind. And then Proverbs 22, 9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. Don't you have people working for you sometime or go to a store or shop? I was just at a Shell in Occoquan. And the guy came out just full of heart. He must have been a Christian as best I could tell. He just worked and worked and worked. It was a busy shop. He didn't have to take the time to do this. But he gave 110%. I want to go back there when I have a need. I want his reputation to rise. I want him to succeed in business. That's how it goes over time. With patience, a generous man will himself be blessed. If you want better relationships in your life, start serving. Serving others unselfishly, number three, will make my life meaningful. Meaning comes from living for something greater than yourself. We live to proclaim the kingdom of God, the reign of the invisible Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark 8:35, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the good news, you will find true life. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. And if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Knowing this, what should my attitude be? Well, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. If you want meaning in your life, start serving. And in fact, as it says in point four, you will leave a legacy. There will be two legacies, one for this earth in godly reputation and one in heaven when you hear their applause. What do you want to be remembered for? Jesus said this, if you want to be great, you must be the servant of all. Now, I'm not an expert on this. I'll lean on Dr. Warren. He teaches leadership seminars worldwide. Leadership seminars, mark down that word. He says if you go to Amazon.com, and I assume this is an exaggeration, but it may not be, you'll have 500 books on leadership and one book on being a servant. We talk servant leadership, but when they have a seminar for servants, all you hear there are crickets chirping. But if you have a leader seminar, well, then we all show up, don't we? Sure. Because in a sense, we all want to leave a legacy. We want to do something that will echo eternally. That's good and that's godly. But you know how it happens? By being a servant. But nobody sees my acts of service. God does. God saw Brother Lawrence shining pots and pans, and he sees your good works, and he will reward you on the day of judgment. It'll be a surprise to see what blessings he pours out in heaven. Hebrews 6:10 gives us a promise. God is fair. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for him by helping his people. And he will remember that you are still helping them. Jesus made this promise. My Father will honor anyone that serves him. My Father will honor anyone that serves him. The greatest use of life is to invest it in that which will outlast it. Invest your life in that which will outlast it. You'll remember a movie called Chariots of Fire. And there was a young man whose name was Eric Little. And he had some strong biblical convictions. They were regarding competing on the Sabbath day. In his particular world, that was definitely frowned on. And for him, the honorable thing to do was not to run, not to race on the Sabbath day. As you'll remember the story, he is chosen to represent Scotland in the Olympics. And they put a race, his most powerful race, on a Sunday. Now, he knows God is an illegalist, and that's shown in the movie. But this has been a personal conviction of his, something that he offers in service to the Lord. He teaches children. And he's taken a strong stand for a lifetime. And you'll remember how the story goes. They change things up, and Little can still race. And he wins an Olympic gold medal. Isn't that fantastic? But the rest of the story is he then goes to China and gives his life in service and missions and dies in what was essentially a concentration camp in China of a brain tumor, known for his fundamental goodness, not his ability to speak or his intellectual prowess, that he'd play checkers with children and serve. You know, the movie says this so beautifully. It says, when Eric Little died, all Scotland mourned. Do you want to be mourned for the life you could have had, but you were too selfish to gain that? There's a prize. It's the high calling of Jesus Christ. It's being like him, and he does it in you if you will let him. It's a partnership. Does Christ live in your life? Is he alive in you? Have you given him your life? And then does that look like service? Or does it look like selfishness and goofiness and short-sightedness? Which does it look like? On that, be brutally honest with yourself. You know, Brother Lawrence did the fearless moral inventory, and he saw he was lacking. He was lacking in terms of anxiety and all these things. He saw that, in a sense, even his religiosity was about him. And at the end of the day, after 10 years of suffering in ministry, he said, God help me. God do the work in me. And he had 40 years of blessing, and his name has echoed for 300 years, three centuries, still being read. There is joy to be found in service. God has called you to bless. You are bivocational. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, help us to reflect this morning on you. And help us, Lord, to say where I teach, I'm going to let you do it, Lord. I'm going to be a person at peace because you love me. And I'm going to be a person of service because I have two jobs. One that I do out here somewhere. And then the other job is serving you. And they both can look very similar. Help me, Lord. Bless this congregation with your heart. And if there are some here that only you know about, Lord. No, don't let them be paranoid in any way, Lord. Only you know about it. That need to make a turn like the leaves here I'm looking at. That need to change from darkness to gold. Bless them, I pray. And if there's one person here who has not received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, let them do that now. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you've failed. We all have. Believe Christ is the only Savior. There's no one like him. No one. No one loves you like he does. And then choose to follow him. God, if there's one heart here this morning that desires that, come upon them with glory and encouragement. Forgive their sins. Stand them back on their feet. Dust them off. And if there's a believer here who's fallen off his horse, Lord, as a servant of all, grab his foot, put his foot back in the stirrup, and let him ride again to bring you glory and honor and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name.